Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So when the Tea Party burst on the scene, there were individual stories of people who, for one reason or another, got fed up and decided to join a movement which confronted political authority, which confronted in many cases Republicans. Remember, Republican in name only, the RINOs. Each person had a different trajectory from where they were in mainstream life to this new movement called the Tea Party. There are similar trajectories and similar stories to the people who have joined the Occupy Wall Street protests. 4 weeks old here in New York and in other places around the country, they are growing. Joining us now is Nadeem Mazan, who's an Occupy Boston protester. Good morning, Nadeem.
Good morning.
So explain to me, first of all, what made you decide to join this protest? Because a lot of what the protesters have in common is a sense of anger and dissatisfaction, and that can trace its way all the way to the Tea Party and other movements that have expressed disgruntlement over the way Washington and the economy is working since Barack Obama was inaugurated. Nadeem, what's your story?
Well, I have a couple main issues. One is the transparent conflict of interest that exists between people in government, representatives and others, and financial industry. The other is the revolving door that exists between government agencies and finance and other, you know, pharma and other jobs. It doesn't make sense to be regulating something and to be in bed with that thing at the same time.
Now, that, you know, you're an MIT graduate, right?
That's right.
What did you study?
I studied mechanical and biological engineering.
Skills that you thought were going to be useful in this economy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't be useful. Many others face that issue where their skills aren't useful in the economy. But I'm more interested in the fact that the skills that I apply aren't used efficiently. We have companies that aren't looking out for the best interests of their employees, for the best interests of the company or the land in which they enjoy prosperity. And often that is not necessarily prosperity that they deserve, but prosperity that they take by subverting or undermining the democratic process.
All right. Well, you're saying that corporations have what you would describe as an unfair advantage compared to a small business person such as yourself. You attempted to create some startup businesses and found pushback in the economy at this particular stage. What did you blame that on?
Sure. I mean, one can blame that on any number of things, and the businesses themselves are doing fine. I'm just saying I think that when small businesses are reaching a point where they could become medium or large businesses, I think it behooves behooves those with decision-making authority to think about how they want to create jobs. I don't think that one can create jobs just by unloading a bunch of money on a bank when it's much more obvious that there are other institutions and other growing opportunities to incentivize job creation.
Well, let's get down to brass tacks here.
Sure.
You have two startup companies, right?
Yep.
And when the financial meltdown happened, the whole idea, according to Ben Bernanke and Tim Geithner, mm-hmm. was to infuse money into the economy that banks would then lend to folks just like you, right?
Yep. It's not happening.
Why didn't it happen? Why didn't that happen? And from an academic perspective, give me that view. But what did they specifically tell you, and how did that inform your experience now as a protester?
They, Ben Bernanke and others in charge, I don't think cared to create liquidity for the average person. I think they cared to underwrite the expenses of banks and other institutions. There were a lot of people in the know who made a lot of money for themselves or for their business in the bailout. But I think what the people were looking forward to was an infrastructure where money would be infused directly rather than trickling down. For a long time, I think we've known that the 99% of people who do not have lobbyists do not make anything off of this kind of trickle down through the banks or trickle down through anything else.
All right. So let's get specific. The 99 is supposedly most of America. The 1% are the people with all the power and the wealth. You're a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Nadeem Mazan in Occupy Boston. Are you one of the 99 or are you one of the one?
I'm one of the 99%. I think I'm too young and paying my dues too regularly to be part of the 1%. And I think if I did have that kind of wealth, I would hope that I would use it to help others who are struggling. There's nothing about making money that's wrong, but there's something also very exciting about generating new business. And, you know, there's a lot of venture capitalists doing the right thing despite their wealth. But we're really railing on the people who are using their wealth to intentionally undermine the democratic process.
But Nadeem, how do you answer critics who say that the Occupy Wall Street, or in your case, Occupy Boston protests, are really just kind of the outpouring rants of people who are dissatisfied because of economic malaise in the country? That it's no surprise that with high unemployment and a staggering economy, that people are going to be upset, that they're going to feel disenfranchised. And that at this point, the Occupy protests from whatever city they're in don't have specific goals, aims, and they're not supporting any specific legislation.
I think it might be a little cynical to say that it's a natural or a reasonable state of affairs that when things are economically depressed, that people will necessarily rant in this way. I think that there's the opportunity for productive discourse, and I think that's what we're having. I think it's also reasonable to say that as we continue this discourse, we are going to levy proposals and make suggestions, and that the kind of soundbiteism going on in the media where we're supposed to do this on someone else's timetable is surprising, especially given that the media is so relaxed when it comes to our current representatives and their lack of creativity and insight.
All right, let's see. I'm looking at the clock now. We got 3 minutes and 15 seconds here. I am very relaxed listening to any proposal you might have, and I don't demand that you give me a proposal, but let's talk about your specific instance. What could change in the U.S. economy that would eliminate this conflict of interest between the government and the financial sector that might result in greater liquidity for you and your businesses, Nadeem Mazen?
Sure. Just speaking on my own behalf, I think that you mentioned two things there, and they're not necessarily – I'm going to try to disentangle them there.
Sure.
One is conflict of interest. I think that if you take a job with, you know, any of the big companies, you're going to have a conflict of interest clause in your contract. And if you do something that on the face of it looks like a conflict of interest, usually the language of that clause is that if it looks like a conflict of interest, it is a conflict of interest.
So a Goldman partner can't be Treasury Secretary.
That's right.
That would be a reform you would make right now.
I'm not saying that explicitly. I'm saying that the people who regulate that kind of appointment need to think carefully about what that looks like.
All right, you got two more minutes.
Okay. right. So you said it's relaxed, and then you're putting me on the spot.
No.
I think it's fine.
You're doing great. Settle down. You're good.
No, but I also think that the complexity of this issue demands further thought.
Of course it does.
As far as liquidity, as a small business owner, and this is just my opinion, it's important to take in a consensus-based approach towards any new strategies. But my opinion is that we should incentivize businesses of all sizes, small and large, to show how they are applying government dollars. If I were to take money from a bailout, or if I were to take money from a grant program, I think I ought to be held accountable for how that money does or doesn't create jobs.
Well, there are government audits of government programs, but you're saying broadly audit, say, the Fed and the TARP.
Sure, broadly audit the Fed and the TARP, but the fact that I'm not receiving government dollars and many of these organizations are, I think, is a testament to the fact that that it's not being broadly and directly distributed when we're talking about bailout or any other kind of program.
Nadeem Mazen, we're going to have to go, but did you happen to check out the debate last night up kind of in your neck of the woods in New Hampshire?
No, we were dealing with legal repercussions of our protests, but I think I'll catch it online after.
Were you one of the people arrested?
No, I wasn't, but I was there trying to deal with National Lawyers Guild and others to make sure that our people were secure and safe.
He's an MIT grad and owns a couple of startup companies. So he's one of the Occupy Wall Street protesters in Boston. Nadeem Mazen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
What's your take on the Occupy Wall Street or Occupy Boston protests?
My name's Ed Whitehill. I'm calling from North Iowa. I think we all believe in capitalism, all know what good it does, but there's some things money just shouldn't be able to buy, and politicians are one of those things.
Give us your take, 8778-MY-TAKE. And if you're visiting the protests in your city, send us your photos and your audio. You can use our iPhone app or just head over to thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.